Well, it is good to finish the Lord's Day with you in His house. And again, a great thanks to Kyle and the session for allowing me to spend the day with you today. If you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to be back in the Psalms of Ascent. As I mentioned this morning, if you were here, tonight we're going to be unpacking Psalm 124. It has a lot of correlation to Psalm 121, but I want us to see a few different aspects of how God deals and loves on His people. And so, Psalm 124. But before we go any further, as we always do, let us ask for the Lord's blessing upon the reading and the preaching of His Word. Our God in heaven, we thank You that You have given us the Sabbath. Indeed, it is a gift. And what a way to end the Lord's Day by being with You in Your house with Your people. But Father, You've got something very important to lay upon our hearts this evening. I pray Your Spirit would be upon me as I speak to Your people. And I pray most importantly, Father, that every heart in this room would be changed. We'd be more like Christ than when we came. We ask this, we pray this in His name. Amen. Give ear now to God's Word. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us to prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Thus ends the reading of God's inerrant and inspired word. Well, have you ever imagined if someone you love were not in your life? You know, if Laura did not say I do some 24 years ago, let me be real honest, I'd be a hot mess. And I know a few faces here, and I don't think I'd be alone, because I see some men in the room that I could probably make that same exact statement about, because I know your spouses. But maybe it's a parent that guided you for so many years, and you couldn't imagine where you would be without them. You're the man or the woman you are because of all that they've sacrificed for you. Maybe it's a mentor or somebody that just absolutely poured themselves into you. And you would admit that you would be unrecognizable without their work in your life. Psalm 124 imagines what would happen if God were not present and intervening in our lives. David paints a picture, and it's a picture of complete devastation, utter havoc, and complete ruin. He gives us this grim picture and simply says, men and women, we would not survive. It's the complete opposite of the picture that John Lennon paints in his famous song, Imagine. You see, John Lennon imagined a world without God or heaven, and he thought it would be a better place. An enchanted place, he says, where there wouldn't be any hell or any violence or even any possessions. Just a brotherhood of man living as one. And for someone who has no concept of Christ, this can seem like nirvana. That somehow all of the troubles of the world, all of this is God's fault. If we just get rid of Him, well then all will be well, right? I trust Mr. Lennon has rethought his stance these past 43 years since his death, and he's probably come to another conclusion, even though it won't do him any good. But in our psalm tonight, David recalls how dangerous life can be. All of the hardships that come our way, all of the suffering that has come upon us by the hands of our enemies. But this is not a psalm of, it's not a mournful music composition. You see, he says in the midst of all these difficulties and dangers in life, David reminds his readers how God always comes to their aid. In the dangers, in the hardships, in the suffering, in those times of life, he says, God has always been their help. Now he has been, how he has been their protector, how he has always come to their rescue throughout history. That's why this psalm has often been called and referred to as the Thanksgiving Psalm, because it's a reminder of God's goodness and his sovereign care for his people. Verse 8 is one verse that many probably in this room have put to memory. In a way, it sums up this psalm. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You see, David doesn't leave any room for ambiguity here, does he? He says it's very simple. Our help comes from no other. It doesn't come from within. It doesn't come from those around us. It comes from the one, the only one, who made heaven and earth. It comes from the one who is enthroned in heaven. This verse was thought to be John Calvin's favorite verse in all of Scripture. He thought it was so fundamental to understanding the relationship with God that he used it to begin all of the worship services at Geneva. It was what he would use each Lord's Day to call his congregation to worship with. Calvin knew that the forces were railing against the church and that the people of God needed to be reminded. They needed to be reminded where their help always comes from. And David and the nation of Israel were certainly aware of all of these forces against them. Israel has seemingly, well, they've always had a list of enemies, haven't they, that were set on their destruction. There's just never great periods of peace for Israel. You know, it wouldn't take you long to come up with a list of adversaries of Israel, enemies like the Egyptians, the Canaanites, the Moabites, the Assyrians, Babylonians, and David's favorites, the Philistines. Seemingly throughout the Old Testament, Israel was constantly under attack. Fast forward to the New Testament church, and you don't have to look far to find enemies of Christ's church, do you? These enemies are plentiful, never seeming to be a shortage. But the most formidable enemy of God's people, the primary foe, you see, has always been the devil himself. The greatest adversary, the one who wants nothing less than to see the demise and the destruction of God's people. And that's a reminder to us, isn't it, that this battle is a spiritual one that we fight. So in this psalm, we're reminded of the help that the Lord provides in the midst of this spiritual war that we're engaged in. It's the help that he has provided, the help that he's currently providing, and the help that he will provide. And so I want us to see this psalm in these windows of time, past, present, and future, and look at it in the light of our own lives, our own journey. And so we'll begin with God's past help. God's past help. David seems to be starting this off by going down memory lane. He's remembering God's faithfulness. He says, remember all the times that God has delivered us. Only God could have conquered our enemies. And David throws out a hypothetical scenario there in verse 1 and 2. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, he asks, or he states, if the Lord had not been fighting for and with us, if it had not been the Lord there to protect us, if we were left to ourselves, David is saying, imagine where we would be. David then tells them the answer. They would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Our enemies are so eager for our destruction that they would have swallowed us whole, he says. The enemies of God have an insatiable appetite when it comes to the destruction of God's people. As Charles Spurgeon wrote once, anger is never more fiery than when people of God are its objects. David continues there in verse 4, the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us, then over us we would have gone the raging waters. Saying, if it were not for the Lord, we would have just been simply swept away. You know, we've seen all the awful pictures of past hurricanes and tsunamis, you know, rushing water destroying every building and every structure in its path, in some places not leaving a tree standing, life and property all swept away. And David says that exactly how it would be if the Lord were not on our side. Israel would have been left in Egypt or left at the shores of the Red Sea or left to the Canaanites. Plenty to contemplate if God were not on their side. There's an implied but between verse 5 and verse 6. When you see this, it says, but blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Praise that the Lord is on our side, David declares, who has not given us over to our enemies, who are like wild beasts looking to devour us. Matthew Henry described his ministry when he said, my soul is among lions. A worthy description of the enemies of God's people in the environment that we as Christians live in. Verse 7 says, praise that we have also escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. We have escaped from the traps that the enemy has set, all because the Lord is on our side. David says, God has protected us. God has kept us. He has preserved us. He is our defender and our advocate. You know, imagine if you were left alone to defend yourself in this spiritual battle. Think about it. We live in enemy territory with an enemy all around us that's bent on our destruction. Charles Spurgeon once again writes, the cruel world would make a full end of the godly seed were it not that Jehovah bars the way. If it were not Jehovah, if our help came from all the creatures united, there would be no escape for us. It is only because the Lord liveth that his people are alive. I know that I would have put up nothing more than a measly fight. With certainty, all of us would have succumbed rather easily to our enemies in this spiritual battle. Martin Luther described it well. We are like a withered leaf, lightly holding to a tree. How can we withstand or defend ourselves by our own power? Brothers and sisters, the truth is we can't. We are helpless, you see, without the Lord. David says, remember God's faithfulness. Don't forget all that he has done, because there is no doubt who indeed the deliverer is. But it's not just what the Lord has done, my friends, but it's also what he's currently doing this very day. And so David not only reminds them of God's past help, but also of God's present help. Let that be our second point this evening, God's present help. Look again what David says there. In verse 7, we have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. The past has shown us how the Lord has helped his people escape the snare of the fowlers. But look what he writes right after. He says, the snare is broken. It's in the present tense. It is severed, he says. It is no longer there, no longer able to hold us captive. It's a reminder. It's a reminder that God is actively working today. This very day, God is at work. And that whatever befalls us has no power over us. Because David says, Christ has destroyed the snare. You see, the only one that can take hold of us who are believers, us who are the redeemed, is Christ himself. Jesus said of his people, they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. If you are a Christian, the only one that can seize you is Christ. That ought to give great comfort to our souls tonight. The only one that can seize us is Christ. Think of the snare of sin for God's people that is forever broken. That does not mean that we don't at times become entangled in the broken ropes if we are careless, or fall for the lure of the traps that are set. You see, Satan has so many traps, so many ways of entrapping us. He is creative in his approach. He is relentless in his attacks. But God's people cannot be bound as a snare would bind a bird. But let us remember that this snare did not just eventually begin to fray and then come apart. But you see, it took the atoning sacrifice of the Son of God in order for that snare to be broken, for the trap to have lost its power. It's the same picture. It's the same as the picture that we have when Jesus took his last breath on Calvary. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, you see. In that same manner, the snare that so many cannot escape from has been severed for God's people. Let me ask you this evening, do you know and feel this present help? Do you sense the Lord working right now in your life? Maybe it's his help in bringing you comfort in a difficult time of your life. Maybe you sense the activity of the Holy Spirit keeping you from sin, actively keeping your life on the path and in between the lines. Maybe it's simply just his presence, that unexplained knowledge and overwhelming feeling that God is, well, that he's right there with me. What a joy to know and realize God's presence. What a joy that is as believers. That this very day that we can feel that sense, we can know his presence and know that his watchful eye is upon us. Well, there's one remaining window of time that we still need to remind ourselves of, and that is that we also have God's future help. God's future help. Look with me in verse 8. It says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our past help has been documented. Our present help is being realized. But our God does not fail to see all things to completion. You can hear David saying there in verse 8, go forth knowing that God, the God of heaven and earth, will always be your help. Thomas Manton put it well, as long as I see those two great standing monuments of his power before me, heaven and earth, I will never be discouraged. Our help is for a tomorrow that often brings us fear and anxiety. But it's a tomorrow that he controls. It's a tomorrow that he has willed to be, you see. Now, none of us like the unknown. But we who are the redeemed can look towards it without fear and trembling, because God will always remain our help. We can be confident with all that comes our way. We can repeat and mean what Paul declares in Romans chapter 8. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. See, all the snares that grab hold of the world, you see, they remain broken for God's people. They can never be repaired. They can never be tied back together again. This morning we spoke about our struggle in life and how God is our helper and is our watchman and is our keeper. David says here in Psalm 124, look nowhere else. Look only to Christ. Lift your eyes to the heavens. That is where our help lies, he says. David also wrote in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. My friends, are these words that you can repeat for yourself tonight? Have you seen the proof of what God has done for you in the past? All of the times he has preserved you, all of the times he has raised you up when you have fallen. Do you know, do you feel the Lord's presence this very day that is before you? Maybe it's a day that's filled with uncertainty. Maybe you are at a point where attacks are coming in every direction, where the day has more in store than it can accomplish. But do you also trust in what will transpire tomorrow? What will be thrown at you? What awaits around the next bend, the unknown? I know how easy this is to say and how hard it is to live it out in the moment. I know, because you see, I struggle with it. I have seen all the proof when I look back in my life. I know of God's faithfulness because I've seen it over and over again. I know of situations that I thought were hopeless, and I saw God's hand of deliverance so very clearly, time and time again. I also know the power that I have at my disposal right now, today, through Christ. I know the snare is broken. I believe what God's word tells me, that the victory has, we already have it in Christ. And I know that God controls everything about tomorrow. Nothing happens without Him, absolutely nothing. But yet I still struggle when it's me in that moment. I often allow my problems to become bigger than God. How foolish that sounds, doesn't it? That we would allow our problems to be bigger than our God. The key to living is to believe what the Bible tells us. And the two Psalms that we have unpacked today tells us much about who our God truly is. Of course, He can be our helper. He can be our watchman, and He can be our keeper. Just think about this as we close. Just think of what Christ has already done. He, along with the Father and the Spirit, planned out our redemption before the foundation of time. He took on flesh, came down from His throne in glory. He lived perfectly, often in times of great temptation and persecution. He bore all our sins, past, present, and future. He drank the full cup of the Father's wrath. He bled and He died. But He conquered death and He rose again. And now He's seated rightly upon His throne. My friends, if you believe that this evening, if you believe that this evening, you ought not doubt how He's going to care for you. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for the reminder that we've seen in these two Psalms that our God indeed cares for us, that You are continually watching over us. Father, let us go from this place. Let us go back out into the world. Father, with that in mind, let us live life with that confidence that You are continually with us, Your people. Father, we ask this and pray in Christ's name. Amen.